are escaping a land of smoke and mirrors, obfuscation, and confusion, and into a space of liberty-inducing veracity and reason. In this new land, divergence from the secularist status quo is the zenith of human existence. Welcome to Absolute Truth, Absolutely. Transmission begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the newest episode, the newest edition of the Absolute Truth, Absolutely podcast, powered by LWIM, Living Word Youth Ministries in Miami, Florida. My name is Gio, and this is
Sarai.
She is my wife, and she is also the co-youth pastor. And we are here to disseminate truth. How is it that they say in this generation, in this youthful generation, we're going to drop some knowledge on you?
Well, today we will be dropping some knowledge.
I have to be careful because of those concrete blocks are about to fall on my head. Well, going through the news items this morning for another show that I record, I stumbled upon this particular news bit that I thought we should comment on. It says, pro-abortion speaker to headline Catholic University's MLK event, and this comes to us via the College Fix. Loyola University Chicago has invited a vocally pro-choice journalist to be the keynote speaker for its Martin Luther King Jr. Day observance, prompting concern and criticism among many Catholics. To Ray Niblett, the controversial co-host of The Cycle on MSNBC, who thanked God on air for abortion, will headline the Catholic Jesuit University's MLK event on Wednesday. And despite some condemnation lobbed at the choice, campus officials stand behind it. Quote, we welcome and foster an open exchange of ideas and encourage debate and sharing differing views and opinions to advance education, end quote. University spokesman Steve Christensen said in an email to the College Fix. He continued, we believe that discussion around difficult and complex issues results in deeper critical skills, or rather deeper critical thinking skills, and well-rounded citizens. Exploring complex issues with many different perspectives is a mark of strength and vitality, and we do not shy away from discussing controversial topics. Niblett, who goes by the name Touré, was brought to the campus by the university's Department of Student Diversity and Multicultural Affairs. His talk is titled, How Racism Functions Today. College campuses are an ideal place to dialogue about complex issues that need to be addressed in a holistic way, Christensen said. At Loyola, our students demand such conversation as a way to problem solve and work towards social justice. As the 2015 Martin Luther King Jr. celebration speaker, Touré will share his perspective based on his personal and professional experiences. Touré made headlines in January 2013, the 40th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, when he publicly praised abortion on his television show. Quote, I knew that pregnant women and I were not going to be able to form a lasting family, he said in the closing monologue, referring to his former girlfriend. He continues, she decided it was best to have an abortion, and days later, she did. We did, and in some ways, that choice saved my life. I thank God and country that when I fell into a bad situation, abortion was there to save me and keep me on a path toward building a strong family I have now. And I pray that safety net remains in place. This is the phrase that he closed with. That is not the only controversial thing he has said on MSNBC. He has also admitted to being an occasional marijuana user, a 9/11 truther, among other things, reports Newsbusters. And the Daily Caller has reported that Touré founded a, quote, militant anti-white student newspaper, end quote, while attending Emory University from 1989 to 1992. Touré's invitation to speak has raised concerns about Loyola's Catholic identity. Now, let us go through what I've read so far, because there's a lot to be commented on in this particular news bit. First and foremost, when I see that they're inviting a person who advocates the death, the cutting off of life, the annihilation of those that have a right to live, I automatically question why. Now, as we question why, Steve Christensen, the spokesperson of the university, gives us a, what shall we call it, perfunctory statement, but also one that is meant to obfuscate the true intention of why they have invited Touré. Notice that Christensen says, we welcome and foster an open exchange of ideas and encourage debate and sharing differing views and opinions to advance education. If that's the case, why are they having him present solely? Why didn't they invite an advocate for the pro-life movement?
Well, we know the intentions, especially coming from universities now. I think every I shouldn't say every or generalize, but a lot of these universities have the pro-choice stance. So it doesn't alarm me that they invited him. But people might say, yeah, but don't Catholics endorse the right to life? No, they don't, because there's been reports where nuns have committed abortions themselves.
Right. The institution itself might say or proclaim in the public forum that they endorse the right to life. That might be the official stance. But historically, it's been known that inside of many institutions, local institutions, there have been pregnancies and abortions, and yes. There's a shady past there, of course. Now, Christensen continues, we believe that discussion around difficult and complex issues results in deeper critical thinking skills and well-rounded citizens. Not when you're presenting solely one point of view to an audience. And when he says discussion, he means a monologue, not a dialogue, okay? Exploring complex issues with... why is this a complex issue? Notice the terminology they use here.
I don't understand why this is considered a complex issue when it has to do with a human being's life.
I'll tell you why it's a complex issue. Because their argument is so unfathomable that to the rest of us commonsensical persons, those of us that espouse or those of us who aren't senile, we understand that how can you have life without first being afforded that process? Now, of course, we've stated on this program before what these persons do is they have to define the development of the child in the womb as non-life.
Correct.
But the problem is, how can you have life? How can you bring about life without that very development? It's a philosophical conundrum, a paradox, and it will never be resolved. So notice how they have to state these are complex issues. It's not a complex issue. In our documents, it says that we have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What happened to the right to life? That's not addressed.
Exactly. And it's not being voiced, and the students aren't being made aware of it. They're not being made aware of the option to choose life for that child.
Well, why is it that we continually hear reports of pro-life students and groups constantly being denigrated and even stonewalled by university officials when they want to hand out tracts, for example? They're not allowed to.
If Planned Parenthood, them being the pro-choicers, have the right to have their table out and enhance their agenda, why can't the pro-lifers have the same right as well? Why do they have to be shunned? Why do they have to be castigated? Why do they have to be picked upon? Give them the right to the students to be informed on the other side of the aisle as well.
So you're saying that the inclusivity or the inclusivism that they're always advocating in favor that the rest of us are supposed to adopt, they don't abide by it.
Of course.
There's a contradiction and there's hypocrisy there. So exploring complex issues with many different perspectives is a mark and strength and vitality, and we do not shy away from discussing controversial topics. Like I said, again, if this is the case, then invite a pro-life speaker.
Exactly.
But Loyola, as the report has stated, has been at the center of controversy because it invites persons whom espouse pernicious and deleterious ideologies. And Neblett, who goes by the name Touré, he was brought to the campus by the university's Department of Student Diversity and Multicultural Affairs. Notice how his talk is titled, How Racism Functions Today. And of course, you could expect a person like Touré, I would call him a preeminent liar, to take to the podium and lash out platitudes that obfuscate the truth, that are more perspective-driven than reality-driven, etc.
What's mind-boggling to me is how you have Touré. He looks African-American to me.
Yeah, he's black.
He has the stance and voiced the stance of pro-abortion. And yet, Margaret Sanger her idea of abortions went specifically to the Negro population.
Yes.
And I say Negro because I'm quoting her. She uses that term. Yep. So the fact that he is advocating abortion, she would be dumbfounded right now if she were here alive. She would be like, wait a minute, what are you doing here? As a matter of fact, if she would have seen the president of the United States as a president being black, I think she would go nuts. She's probably turning in her grave as we speak.
That little meeting that she had where she gave that famous speech and she's pictured being on a pedestal in a Ku Klux Klan meeting. It doesn't get very disseminated nowadays, does it? College campuses are an ideal place to dialogue about complex issues that need to be addressed in a holistic way. This is Christensen once again, Steve Christensen, the spokesperson, continuing to speak. Now, curiously, he says that during this MLK Jr. celebration, Touré will share his perspectives based on, and here it is, perspective.
Those are his ideologies.
That's his, exactly. This guy is an ideologue.
Of course.
And I mean, they have caught him in so many contradictions and hypocrisies, especially ranging from gun control to race baiting. That's why they have him on MSNBC, because MSNBC is a leftist channel. It's a leftist network.
And what he should be doing is, if he's taking this pro-choice stance, which obviously he is, what he should be doing is going to the metropolitan area and going into Planned Parenthood and their offices and seeing a real life abortion. That's what he should be doing. Because a lot of these metropolitan areas are highly, statistically, their abortions are more higher and more likely to happen.
There's a, especially, there's a higher concentration of persons,
yes,
there.
Yes, especially amongst the blacks. And yet here you have him advocating to kill a human being. Basically, that's what he's saying, yeah, in between the lines.
Notice how he says, I knew that pregnant women and I were not going to be able to form a lasting family. Let me rephrase that to disseminate what he actually meant. I like to be a libertine. I like to have free sex. And therefore, I don't want to be bogged down with a child.
Exactly.
A child to me is not, I can't have a child now because that means responsibility to a person who is as irresponsible as I am. So I have an option in this country to terminate that life, to annihilate, murder that life. Notice how he also says she decided it was best to have an abortion and days later she did. What a coward. What a coward. She decided. No, you also endorsed it.
Exactly.
You coward. Notice how he says, we did, finally, he admits it. And in some ways, that choice saved my life. So that baby was going to pop out of his girlfriend's womb and going to eat his flesh?
Most likely.
It's going to eat his, it saved my life. He presents it as if it was a life and death situation.
But Gio, I wonder if he would have had that same opinion if his girlfriend would have died at that table. Because it's funny how people advocate for abortion and yet they seem to hide the fact or the stats on how many women go to these places to have an abortion and they don't come out alive. They don't come out alive, both the baby and the mother. So I'm wondering if he would have still had that same view if his girlfriend back in the day, whom he shacked up with, or had a one-night stand with, and all of a sudden she became pregnant, what if she would have died in that table? I want to know where his point of views would have been at.
It's shocking to me that, well, you know what, I recant. It's not shocking. It's actually commonplace today to give these people a pulpit, a podium to express their ideas when, in truth, they are mere ignoramuses who espouse a certain doctrine, one that is very damaging, very dangerous, hazardous to humanity. And they give him an outlet such as MSNBC to disseminate his views. But that tells you how evil certain persons are.
Of course.
You know, going further on this, notice how he says, I thank God and country that when I fell into a bad situation. So having a baby is a bad situation. There are so many parents out there that cannot have children. And they would give anything to be able to have children. And yet this man describes the same situation that other parents are desiring to finally be able to enjoy, to share with those children, to provide any inheritance. And I'm not speaking pecuniary here. I'm speaking about an inheritance of morality and filial love to that child. This person sees it as a punishment, as a castigation. Notice how he says a bad situation. So having a baby is a bad situation. And he has money. Trust me, it's not as if he is a person that has no resources whatsoever. He gets paid very well. And he says, abortion was there to save me and keep me on a path toward building a strong family I have now. So why can't that baby be a part of the strong family you have now? Why can't that child, why couldn't that child be part of the, or be the beginning of the strong family you have now?
And I would like to bring his previous girlfriend into the picture. I would like to have a conversation with her and get her opinion. Do you thank God and your country for having that abortion? Do you regret having that abortion? Do you have cervical cancer? Do you have breast cancer? Have you had previous abortions after that? How are you doing health-wise? I would like to sit down and have that conversation with his girlfriend, because he makes it seem like it's a walk to the park and everything was fine and dandy. Okay, but what about the scars that it might have left her? And he seems to not showcase that part of the dialogue here, because not only should you include him, but include the girlfriend. Where does she stand? Obviously, she stands for pro-abortion, you know, to promote it.
But well, he does say that it was, let's see here, let me make sure that I quote him properly here. He does say that she decided it was best to have an abortion. He places it squarely on her.
Exactly.
Now he continues, and I pray that safety net remains in place. The reason that he says this, again, these talking heads that defend the indefensible, they always use other terminologies to disguise or justify sinfulness. Please do not forget this. These personages will never ever tell you, look, I just want to have free sex. I'll tell you something. At least I can respect. And even then, it's maybe far from that. But the person who's at least honest and says, look, I just like having free sex. I enjoy libertinism, and that's what I indulge in. At least I could say that maybe I can work with that person, speaking to them about what the Bible dictates, how God's design for life is a certain way and not another. Maybe I can have an open dialogue with that type of person. And I've had dialogues with those certain persons to try to convince them that their walk is not optimal, that it's displeasing to God, and also that it's deleterious to their own safety, health, etc. Well, persons like this, when they hide, when they use vagaries, when they employ verbiage that is meant to disguise their true intention, you know that they are the most evil persons, because they are withholding from you the truth. So obviously there's a problem here. Notice how he says, I pray that safety net. Notice how he categorizes abortion. The death, the killing, the annihilation, the murder of innocent life, he categorizes it as a safety net, that it will remain in place. And curiously, you had alluded earlier to Margaret Sanger. Margaret Sanger was a racist human being.
Of course she was.
Who wanted to employ abortion and used her federation, Planned Parenthood Federation, to eliminate what she called the scourge of society, the gutter of society, blacks. As a matter of fact, she was part of the movement that had many Georgians, I think in the 1930s or 40s, I don't remember the exact dates, where they enforced sterilization on blacks.
Yes, they did.
She was part of that movement. And then here's Planned Parenthood, to this day still being funded, federally funded, by the taxpayers and by government, to perform abortions on a group that its founder wanted eliminated. And here is a black person who probably does not know this, or maybe he does. Maybe he doesn't. He couldn't care less. And he's advocating for her position whilst the same organization is undertaking the annihilation of the American black.
At the end of the day, Gio, black women are 3.7 times more likely to have an abortion. This is since 2010. Than non-Hispanic white women. This is according to the CDC. And still, in the United States, as of 2011, approximately here in the United States, there's still 1.6 million abortions that have taken place. And obviously that number has grown. So obviously the message, their message, kids are getting it.
Yeah.
The colleges are promoting it. And everywhere you go, they promote the licentiousness. They promote the, hey, look, if you're going to go to bed, get a condom. And yet condom doesn't even protect us from STDs. And this is something that's also been obfuscated as well. But then here you have someone who goes to a college on an MLK event, promotes pro-choice, and students might not even go do the legwork about abortion and everything else and might just eat his own story.
They're going to take Touré at his own words because he's Touré.
Of course.
He's on MSNBC. He has to be right.
Exactly. And since he's Touré and he's on NBC, exactly like you just said, he has to be right. Why can't he be wrong? Why would he be wrong? He has such an important role in MSNBC. Why would he be saying lies? Doesn't humans lie? Don't we lie? I mean, heck, the president of the United States lies to us.
That is That is a very ignorant posture, and I have always denounced that. Persons who say, well, typically individuals are good. No, they're not. The Bible tells you that we're evil. Inherently, Jesus says you being evil know how to give good deeds to your children.
That's right.
The Bible says there's not a single person who is good. Even the most just, the most righteous has sinned. And lastly, I have one question before we move on. When he conducts this talk, how racism functions today, do you think that he'll allude to his days as a anti-white supremacist?
Of course not. That's something he's not even going to touch, as a matter of fact, because God forbid we find out about that. Yes. That makes us racist.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it doesn't make him a racist, but any of us that maybe are a little clearer skinned than he is, everybody else is automatically denoted a racist. Well, we have another piece of news here. For those of you that enjoy watching soap operas on television and primetime network television, Empire creator, I want to, quote, blow the lid off homophobia in the black community. This is from the Associated Press. The creator of Fox's primetime soap, Empire, said he wants to blow the lid off homophobia in the African-American community with a depiction of the show's lead character's hostile relationship with his gay son. I read with his homosexual son. Lee Daniels, who was also behind the movies Lee Daniels is the Butler and Precious, so we know where he's coming from with this, said that his own father's hostility towards gays frightened him, and he knows the same attitudes are being passed on from one generation to another in households around the world. Nothing better than to advocate propaganda using entertainment.
Exactly.
What we're trying to do is to give people the opportunity to see that what they're doing is painful, Daniel said at a television conference on Saturday. Empire, the story of a strong-willed music family whose patriarch Lucius Lyon is portrayed by actor Terrence Howard, has gotten off to a strong start this month at the ratings-challenged Fox network. I wonder why then. I guess we can't wonder anymore. Now we know why they adopted this particular show. The series had the unusual feat of growing in viewership from its premiere week to its second, compelling Fox to quickly give the go-ahead to a second season. By the way, I've seen the advances, the previews of this show, and you can tell that it is falling into the same platitudes that it does about the black community. This person starts a record company. There's a lot of shooting, gangbanging, et cetera, playing to those particular parts, deranged parts of our culture. During the show's first episode, Lyon learns he has a fatal disease and is battling with his just-released from jail wife over which of their three sons will take over their music empire. Lyon is openly hostile to his gay son, Jamal. During a flashback, Lyon is shown stuffing Jamal into a garbage can when he sees the boy trying on his mother's high heels. I'm glad that I can show the African-American community that this is what you're doing to your son. This is what you're doing to your nephew. This is what you're doing to the kid down the street, Howard said. So I'd like to know, in what instance, what news bit do we find that blacks are stuffing children that have homosexual tendencies into garbage cans? Notice how they have to employ hyperbole in order to convince persons, ignorance that is, that this is what happens to homosexuals on a daily basis in this country. When in truth, they have been afforded special rights more than the rest of the populace or anybody should enjoy in our country.
Of course. And they advocate that, oh, we need to have the same rights as everyone else. The last time I checked, you still have the right to vote. You have the right to drive. I mean, what rights don't you have? Us and them, we all have the same rights. I don't know why. I mean,
we have the same rights. The thing is, they want special consideration.
Exactly.
They want special consideration.
Exactly.
Daniel said that he believes if his father were alive today, he would have evolved in his thinking. Oh, like Barack Obama evolved in his thinking when, I think, what was it? He was against, or rather, he was for homosexual marriage, then against it when he ran as president, and then he evolved again. The process of evolution seems to have a progression and regression. Darwin was absolutely wrong.
It failed with Obama.
It failed. Jussie Smollett, the actor who portrays Jamal, said he's been overwhelmed by the response to the storyline that he has seen in social media. If there are viewers who can see themselves in Jamal, quote, that's incredibly dope, and I embrace that, end quote, Smollett said. Oh, my God. This is sad to me. The annihilation of the English language, that's incredibly dope. That's dope, all right. I happen to think that Jussie Smollett is he's probably on dope. Yes.
I wouldn't doubt it.
At a time the movie industry is under fire for its commitment to diversity, only white actors received nominations when last week's Oscar contenders were announced. Empire is seen as making strides in that area. Taraji P. Henson, the actress who plays Lucius's wife, Cookie, said entertainment executives take notice when shows dominated by minority cast members make money. Viewers want to see people who look like them on television, Smollett said. They're also interested in people that don't look like them, he said. Right now, we're seeing people enjoy the culture of America, the culture of the world, Daniel said. We're sure in real life now. Again, I'd like to know when parents stick children with homosexual tendencies inside of garbage cans.
Not only that, the culture of America is the culture of the world?
Let me clarify, because it seems that I am the person who clarifies what these persons actually mean. Let me explain to you what has happened. We know that black culture has permeated, if you can call that culture in the first place, that has permeated American culture has been this. Yo, dog, let me know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? In other words, the annihilation of the English language, the putting down of the pants halfway where you can see half
everything.
Basically everything. The gangsta wannabe look, the tough guy look, all of these things that have been promulgated by much of the black community, that's what is being disseminated through movies, music, hip hop, what have you, rap. This is what he means by the culture of America, the culture of the world.
And it's funny how here he says that he wants to blow the lid off of homophobia, right? How? Well, he knows that the same attitudes are being passed on from one generation to another in households around the world. What's that? That they are frightened by gays. But I don't think that's an issue, Gio, because the Muslim community,
oops,
guess what? They are not afraid of homosexuals. As a matter of fact, they denounce homosexuality. And if you dare to come out of the closet and they happen to know, the community happen to know that you came out of the closet,
oh, you're being thrown off a building.
You are being strapped feet and hands, and you're being thrown to your death off of a building. How do you like those apples?
We're not condoning that, of course. What we're stating is that they vociferate against us, the faction that turns the other cheek, and not against these persons who will throw you off of buildings. That's all the time we have left for this edition of the ATA podcast, the Absolute Truth Absolutely podcast. First of all, this has been Gio. We wish you adieu and Godspeed.
You've just experienced and become privy to information broadcast and powered by LWIM. Choose what to do with the material as you wish, but a fair warning is in order. Consider conserving it with your life if need be, as said information has been known to preserve the lives of its keepers. Join us every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. for more truth in a world full of uncertainty. 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. If you have any questions or comments you'd like our hosts to address on our broadcast, write to us at info@lwim.org. Transmission end in 3, 2, one.